Blog Talk Radio.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the
tonight. This is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Movement, and I'm coming to you tonight. We're going to start a series. Hope you have your Bibles. Get ready. We're getting ready to deal with a series of things that's happening. And I want to, this is Monday, and we're in August. This is the 8th month. Get ready for some doors to open up for you. Get ready for some things to work for you. And get ready for to call some things out. You might not know what they is, but you call them out and they're going to work for you. I want tonight to talk. I want you to get your pencil and paper. Maybe you have to follow me. This is the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Movement. And, you know, Dr. King marched, he protested, he talked about the Vietnam War, he talked about poverty, racism, white supremacy. But I want you to write down the playbook, Hitler Playbook. It's a little black book called Hitler Playbook. And I want to share something with you tonight. We may not play Dr. King, I want to share with you because this is very important to understand. The most evil man in the world was Hitler. Hitler had a playbook. First, Hitler wanted to rule the world. Hitler's playbook And I'm going to tell you who got Hitler playbook now. But I want to deal with his playbook where you might know what Hitler playbook was. Hitler playbook was to kill 6 million Jews. But I want to back up before we talk about the killing of 6 million Jews. Hitler was doing surgery on white folks to try to make a super white man. This white supremacy. He did surgery, killed a lot of people, took the heart and the liver out, and his scientists, he had scientists, and they weren't black, they were white. And someone was Jewish. And in his playbook, it was to make a super white human. That was Hitler, that was in Hitler's playbook. And when I say his playbook, this is what Hitler had on the agenda. The next in his thing, after the surgery, doing your face, doing it, so many people, it's over 5,000 people died in surgery. What Hitler was doing, he was doing, taking the liver, taking heads, tying them to the body, taking liver, lungs, and kidneys. Think about, I want you to listen tonight, because this is the Dr. King movement. I'm going to tell you where we at now, where you'll know where we come from. I ain't talking Bible talk. I'm talking history and truth, okay? And the lies man on this planet, the biggest lie on this planet is white folks. But I'll get into that. That's another show. But I want to deal with you where you say, what's going on, Bishop? What's happening? What happened to us? I'm going to let you know white folks dealing out of Hitler playbook. But you got to know what Hitler playbook was. First Hitler playbook was to make a super white human with a white race. Okay. So he documented, he did hard living, he did the Frankenstein. He murdered people, got their parts, body parts, kidneys, lungs, all that. Cut their legs off, put the legs on, try to make a superhuman. That was in Hitler playbook, number one. Number two, he got rid of 6 million Jews. That's in his play. I mean, he murdered them. He burned them, put them in pits, broke families up. Now, he did that, and America looked on. This is in his playbook. In his playbook was to control the world. Not just Germany. The Germany was just part of the killing that he did. This is the most evil man been on the planet of Earth. Hitler. Let me say it. Hitler been the most evil man on the face of the Earth. And his playbook, somebody's still playing out of his playbook. And you can't see it. People didn't see that he had killed 6 million Jews. Carried them to the oven, burned and killed them. But before the 6 million, he had killed 5,000 on surgery, taking limbs and putting limbs together, trying to make a human being. Hitler did that. That's his playbook. After that, he created a law playbook that if they catch you out after night, you will go to jail and carry you to the ovens in Germany. 6 million Jews were killed in his playbook. Now, the next in his playbook was to get rid of all the blacks because he said they was inferior. And the browns and the Indians. This in his playbook. To get rid of all races, to have one race, that's the super white race. That was in Hitler's playbook, to shut down all government jobs, all business that had to go through him. He talking about not just America, all over the world. This in Hitler's playbook. In his playbook, after 6 million Jews, Hitler was getting ready to kill all the blacks, all the browns, all the reds, every race. He was going to colonize and kill them to the oven. Now, how did he do that? In his playbook, he organized a super army, an army of tanks in order to take over Germany, to take over the world, Africa, London, Paris, America. When the Americans went over, Dwight Eisenhower was the president. He went over, and he didn't believe it, and the world didn't believe it. Hitler had murdered 6 million people on the planet Earth. 6 million people he had put in the oven and burnt, and so bombs was everywhere, and family was broke up. And some of the Jews was with him. I'm talking about Hitler's playbook tonight, playbook, what he had in mind to organize the army, the navy, every government that he was going to run it and take over the world. Now, how did he do that? He did that by witchcraft, magic, lying, and keeping people in the dark, breaking families up. It was a dark time in this world with Hitler. And you got people still want to be involved with Hitler. Hitler's playbook was to take over the world, not just America, not just Germany, the world. All the blacks on the face of the earth gonna kill. All the browns, I mean China, Russia, the whole world. He was the epitome of evil. Hitler. And you got people want to deal with him. After he killed all the Jews, 6 million of them, and maybe more, then he wanted to get rid of all the blacks. It's in the playbook. And his playbook is the red man, the brown man, and the yellow man. He was going after next, after 6 million Jews, he was going to kill all the blacks. Okay? Because he's trying to make a super race. He said, blacks is nothing but apes. This is in his playbook. We got to get rid of all apes. That's in his playbook. I wish black folks wake up and white folks wake up to see how serious this is in this period. 6 million people was killed. And God is getting ready to kill the rest of the world. Hitler. He was a devil, a demon. He was the most evil man on the face of this earth. As I speak today, so I got to talk about the 6 million Jews and the attempt to kill all the blacks, all the browns, all the reds, all the yellow. That means he's killing all the people in Africa, all the people in Russia, all the people in China. He was going to dominate the world. That's what he wanted to do. And Dwight, you can look in the history, Dwight Eisenhower went over to Germany and seen the mass graves and seen the ovens where people were cooked alive. And the world did not believe it. He had to bring Hollywood in and let the world know this man is evil. Hitler playbook. Now, the other part of Hitler playbook, Hitler began to organize the army, the navy. In Hitler Germany, you go to jail for standing on the corner. In Hitler Germany, you go to jail for having a business. You go to jail if you're a Jew. You'll go to jail in Hitler Germany that he was getting ready to go to the blacks, getting ready to colonize South Africa. Then he was going over, he already had Germany, he was going to America. This is Hitler playbook for mass murder. the most evil man in the world. I don't know, and he wasn't worried about no Christianity, no Islam. He was killing people. And because of America organized, all the countries come together. So we got to get rid of this man. This man is evil, bombing and killing. That's Hitler playbook. And I want you to read the Hitler playbook where you understand how serious it is when somebody wants to act like Hitler. That means they following the same. Hitler took all the government over. There wasn't going to be no government. Hitler was the dictator of the world. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to run all the governments. Hitler playbook. In Hitler playbook, the only way to get rid of you is to murder you, to kill. Many people were put in the oven. Other races that was there, he didn't put them in the oven. He took them and killed them and buried them or put them in the river, fed them to the animals. Now, he organized the army, the navy, the marines, the tank, all of that. But the world didn't know and didn't believe it. The Hollywood come and took the picture of the boxcar, people in boxcars been put in oven, burning and cooked. Hitler did that. Okay. I just want you to know. And all his lieutenants with him, some of them flee. But when the heat came, when the truth came out, the truth always come out. Now, I want to pair Hitler playbook to what's happening in 20 and 21. Now, Trump got Hitler playbook. The Republican got Hitler playbook. Look at the parallel. Look at Hitler and look at Donald Trump trying to take over the government with lies. Look at the Republican and Trump trying to take over the government. This is directly, people, out of the Hitler playbook. White folks can't see it. Black folks didn't see it. But the ancestors got up and said, well, y'all go vote. Now, in Hitler playbook, they want to stop the vote. Y'all said, good trouble. Ain't no good trouble. This is trouble to turn this thing around across the nation. These people is playing the Hitler playbook. White folks don't know Hitler was killing all the Jews, coming after the blacks, coming after the brown, coming after Asia. He was coming at everybody in the world. And here's 2021, somebody got Hitler playbook, and they're going along with it in Washington, D.C. They have made an oath to America, and they have turned their back. Look at the Congress. Look at some undercover Democrats. They're Republicans. You got the Republicans don't want to pass no bills. And got a law where you can't vote. This out of Hitler playbook. And what happened on the 19th was strictly out of Hitler playbook. To take over the army, take over the Marines, take over the Navy. If the blacks hadn't got and voted, and he lied all and still lying, that he won. This Hitler playbook full of lies. I got it here. I'm reading it. This is Hitler playbook that was embarked on America. And right now, we are whirling around with the Hitler playbook because some of the scientists that brought the virus out was out of Hitler playbook. Taking animals, changing species. Let me help y'all out this morning. This virus ain't just jumped up. This come out of Hitler playbook. Poison all you can poison. Kill all you can kill. And we're going to take over the world. Y'all better hear what I'm saying tonight. This is serious. This is some real stuff. This is what's happening right now. You got some people still trying to play out of Hitler playbook. Now, it ain't no virus. Now, you know where the virus come from. You created the virus because it's right here in the Hitler playbook. All that you don't burn up, you give them a disease and let that disease come to the graveyard. Wake up. And you had scientists that was lying. The pharmaceutical companies, oh, y'all ain't going to play with me. The pharmaceutical companies, no, they playing out of Hitler playbook for money. They know they can get a cure. They don't want to get no cure to cancer, to tuberculosis, to cataract. They don't want to get no cure to cataract. They don't want to get no cure to sugar and high blood. They playing out of Hitler playbook. Kill the masses, murder them all. And some of these rich men that's involved in Hitler playbook, they involved in reading that playbook. We got too many on the planet, we got to kill some of them. So poor people is caught up. Now, not only Jews, they killing blacks, white, brown, and everybody. Because they playing out of Hitler playbook. Well, what does Hitler playbook say? Go into the government, lie, take over the government, kill everybody in the government. Did you know when they come to Washington, they wanted to kill the Republican, Democrat, and the Republican so dumb with the Hitler playbook? They going along with Trump and his mess, and Trump reading directly out of Hitler playbook and still reading out of it. You got people still going along with that mess. Wake up, America. Wake up, preachers, rabbis, imams. Wake up. They know that this is Hitler playbook. You ain't got to be no rocket scientist to know this is coming out of Hitler playbook. Racism, white supremacy, the military that he set up is in full force right now out of Hitler playbook, and it's still going on. And first, you take care, you kill people. You take over the government. Then, after you take over the government, you take over the courts. Trump did that. And don't nobody say nothing. And you say, and take over the FBI, CIA, take all of the Justice Department. Trump was taking all that over. That's out of Hitler playbook. Then you go and lock everybody up. Okay, this is Hitler playbook. How come you think Bill Cosby went to jail out of Hitler playbook? Me Too movement, that's Hitler playbook. How come right now the judge said Larry Hoover is the most dangerous man in America? That's out of Hitler playbook. He in jail because Hitler playbook in prison. Jeff Ford in prison because people still reading up in the Justice Department, up in the high court, and the high judges is lying. Some of the people that lied, they dead. The police that lied, some of the Black Panthers, Mark Clark and Fred Hampton was killed because that's out of Hitler playbook. If you can't lock them up, kill them. And it's still going on. What you think the police playing all across it, out of Hitler playbook, and then some of the blacks playing out of Hitler playbook kill blacks. Okay, that's what's going on. They playing out of Hitler playbook, and you going right into what's going on. That's Hitler playbook tonight. What I'm saying all this white supremacist racism is given out of Hitler playbook to run the world. Starve the people, the black people in Africa. Take the copper. Take the silver. Take the diamonds. Take the copper. Take everything and then murder them. Let them starve to death. What you think happened over in Africa? And he put whites over there to run them. Some of the European countries playing out of Hitler playbook, and they're colonizing poor people over in South Africa, over in Kenya, over in Egypt, and they go in and kill the government. What do you think happened in Jamaica? They killing, this is Hitler playbook. If you can't control them, kill them. It's in the book, and America is going along with Hitler playbook. Oh, I know y'all ain't like me. Read it. You'll see it for yourself. I said it reason Martin Luther King and Malcolm X had to be killed, because they read Hitler playbook. They know what was in for black folks, what was in for folk, for poor folks. They were playing out of Hitler playbook. And if you don't understand what Hitler playbook was, he was the most evil man on this planet. And anybody got his playbook, they are evil with him. The book is evil, and the thought of it is evil, and you involved in evil deeds. And I want to say that tonight. I just wanted to share the evil that's on the planet Earth. And it wasn't about no church. It was about this man taking the whole world over. And still, you got people is acting in his behalf. Okay? Ain't nothing what happened in 2020 was directly out of Hitler, even this virus. Well, nobody said nothing. It's out of Hitler playbook. He said, poison all you can poison, burn all you can burn, and starve all you can, and kill her. This is what's happening right now in 21. We're finding out. The Spirit told me that, Bishop, these people don't know this Hitler playbook. We under. Here's a virus they can't get no cure for. Ain't nobody said where. It come out of Hitler playbook. It's in the playbook. Make a virus to kill the rest of the world. Because we want one race. We want a white super race. And this going on right now today. White supremacy and racism is real. And the code is, they got a code. And the code is that you go to jail. And that's what's happening right now in his playbook. I just wanted to, I got the playbook here. And some of you ain't read it. You look in your history. You'll see Hitler playbook, what he was going to do next. And then look, Trump and his group got involved. Now, if you got somebody booking talking about killing and you doing it, you cut off the community. Now, here's Malcolm right here. That's what happened. You got to understand what's going on with our civil rights and our human rights. See, we got people that's in high places. They took an oath in Congress, but they playing out of Hitler playbook. We put them in office, and they letting people starve. People ain't got nowhere to stay tonight. They outdoors. And the money is there. So we're dealing, we got people still.
Of our Lord, 1963. It was a cool, overcast morning in Birmingham, Alabama. Sunday school classes were just ending in the basement of the 50-year-old yellow brick church. The morning's lesson was the love that forgives. The fifth chapter of Matthew. Outside, parents were arriving to collect the children. At 22 minutes past the hour of 10, a force let loose that electrified and shook the world. In the next door, Silver Springs restaurant, the block. Workers barehanded dug deeper into the rubble and uncovered the bodies of four little girls. The church pastor, the Reverend John Cross, urged the people to go home. Please go home. Go home, everybody. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want.
We give them love as we get this.
The Birmingham Police Department, six-wheel riot tank, entered the area and cops commenced firing shotguns over the Negro's head, the rock throwing retaliation. Young boys started stoning passing cars with white passengers. Police ordered them to stop. One 16-year-old boy ran. A cop killed him with a buckshot blast. September 15th, 1963. 19 hurt, 5 dead. This didn't happen in Nazi Germany, and it didn't happen in South Africa. It happened right here in America, in Birmingham, Alabama. It didn't happen back in the Dark Ages. It happened in 1963, right after the March on Washington. And it wasn't a dream. This was a nightmare. Where were the leaders? Where was America? Where was the government?
Minister Malcolm, who was guilty of the bombing in Birmingham?
The government was guilty. Guilt is upon the United States government for the murder of those four little girls who died in that bombing. The guilt was upon the United States government for those little boys who were shot down right afterwards. Because it is the failure of the government to do its job that has given the people of that area the feeling that they can brutalize and victimize and murder the Afro-American in cold blood, knowing that nothing will be done about it. Government was guilty. Government still is guilty. The murderers of those little girls have been brought to justice. Mr. Malcolm, do you feel that the government has charged being guilty should inject themselves into this? That there seems to be some technicality as to the fact that they can't get into this due to the fact that this is a state as against government opposition where the legal matter of it is concerned.
Well, it has become impossible for the government in Washington, D.C. to intervene because if you study the structure of the United States government, you'll find that out of 16 senatorial committees that govern this country, 10 of them are in the hands of the senators who are nothing but Southern segregationists. Out of the 20 congressional committees that govern the country, 12 of them are in the hands of congressmen who are nothing but Southern segregationists. So we can see that the government itself in Washington, D.C. is a segregationist government. And they teach you and me that the South lost the Civil War. But at the same time, when we examine the structure of the government, we find that it is run by white racists, by white supremacists, by segregationists, who are called Democrats, but are actually nothing but Democrats, whose leader is sitting in the White House, who himself is also a former senator from a segregationist racist state known as Texas.
Well, this may be true, but this does not hamper the fact, Mr. Malcolm, that there is a legal procedure. Now, in these bombings, and the question is, who is guilty of them?
They didn't have to worry about a legal procedure when they wanted to send troops into South Vietnam. They didn't worry about legal procedures when they wanted to send their troops into Cuba and tell the Cubans what to do. Uncle Sam has never worried about legality. Whenever he wanted to send his troops, wherever his interests were threatened. But when it comes to protecting the lives of 22 million Afro-Americans, then all of a sudden Uncle Sam becomes very conscious of legality.
Well, is it a fact that they did send soldiers into Birmingham, Alabama, and on the perimeter they were held?
I think you'll find that for several weeks when Dr. Martin Luther King and his cohorts were the victims of cattle prods and water hoses and vicious police dogs in Birmingham, they were calling upon Washington, D.C. to come to their rescue. And the only word that they got out of Washington was that no stature had been violated that it would allow Washington to intercede, to inject itself into their pursuit. But as long as the Negroes in Birmingham, Alabama were being nonviolent and were turning the other cheek, then there was nothing the government wanted to do about it. And all the little attacks, the government in Washington professed to do nothing about it. But on that night, when the Negroes exploded that Saturday night and began to react against the whites who had been brutalizing them, then the government in Washington, D.C. sent troops in. They didn't send troops in to protect Negroes, because Negroes had been the victims of brutality for several weeks. They sent troops into Birmingham, Alabama, only when the lives and the property of the white racists and segregationists in Alabama were being threatened.
But specifically as regards to the church, the bombing, and the children, of course, which was an atrocity beyond belief, the government, in all fairness, is not able to fight that case in that it happened within the city and its city government, state government.
Well, the government saw fit to send the football coach down to investigate it. And since when do governments send football coaches to investigate atrocities? Whenever this same government sees this enough effort in the handling of this case? Well, Dr. King and many of the other wonderful leaders who are in the South and other parts of the country have been doing the best that they could, but the odds against them are so great on the part of the white race and the white supremacists, and they work in conjunction with many of the white racists here in the North, opposed as liberals, but we can see today that it is almost impossible for Dr. King to win. So we're going to need some help on a broader scale from a more powerful source.
What do you think of this particular help that needed?
Has our darker brothers and sisters in Africa and Asia and Latin America awakened and become enlightened and emerged and get their independence and are able to get in positions of power? They look here in America and see the plight of their little darker brother, the 22 million Afro-Americans. And as they see our plight and their sympathy and feeling for us increases, sooner or later, some kind of move has to be made to bring us into this unjust situation that 22 million Afro-Americans find ourselves confronted by here in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
That was Malcolm X.
Leading a nation from the point of killing about 6 million Jews. This is the tragedy of racism, because open love is genocide. One says, I'm not good enough to live next door to us. One says, I'm not good enough to have a lunch house, to have a good, decent job, and go to school with him, merely because of my race. He is saying, conscious love, unconscious. I do not deserve to exist. To use a philosophical system, it's not based on some empirical generalization. It is based rather on an ontological affirmation. It is not the assertion that certain people are behind culturally or otherwise because of environmental conditions. It's the affirmation that the very being of a people is inferior. This is great tragedy. I and however unpleasant it is, we must honestly see it exist. Racism is still deeply rooted all over America, still deeply rooted in the North, still deeply rooted in the South. Say something about another subject that we hear a great deal. That is the so-called white backlash. I would like to honestly say to you that the white backlash is merely a new name for an old phenomenon. Not something that just came into being because shouts of black power, or because Negroes engaged in riots in Washington, for instance. The fact is that the state of California voted a firehouse to deal out of the before anybody shouted black power, before anybody rioted in Washington. Well, these shouts of black power and riots in Washington, the Hollis, and the other areas are the consequences of the white backlash rather than the cause of it. What it is necessary to see that there has never been a single solid monistic determined on the part of the vast majority of white Americans, the whole question of civil rights and on the whole question of racial equality. This is something that truly impels all men the most will to admit. Said on the Statue of Liberty that America is the home of Islam. It doesn't take as long realize that America has been the home of its white exiles from Europe. It has not been the same kind of maternal care and concern for its black exiles from Africa. It's no wonder that it was a sorrow song that they grow to sing out sometimes by feel like the motherless child. But great strange. What great sense of rejection caused the people to emerge with such a metaphor as they looked over their lives? What I'm trying to get across is that our nation has constantly taken a positive step forward on the question of racial justice and racial. At that same period, America was giving millions of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that America was living undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor that made it possible to grow and develop. Give that economic floor to its black peasants, so to speak. This is why President Douglas stayed at emancipation for the Negro was freedom to hunger, freedom to the winds and rains of heaven, freedom without roots to cover their heads. Went on to say that it was freedom without bread, freedom without land to cultivate, freedom and famine at the same time. It does not stop there. 1875, the nation passed Rights Bill. 1964, the nation passed a week of Civil Rights Bill. Even to this day, that bill has not been totally enforced in all of its dimensions. The nation heralded a new day of concern for the poor, poverty stricken, for the disadvantaged, brought into being a poverty bill. At the same time, it put such money into the program that it was hardly and still remains hardly a bit skirmish against poverty. White politicians, suburbs talk eloquently against open houses in the same breath contend that they are not racist. All of this, all of these things tell us that America has been backlashing on the whole question of constitutional and God-given rights for Negroes and other disadvantaged groups for more than 300 years. So these conditions, consistent to widespread poverty, slum, tragic conditions in other areas of life, all of these things have brought about a great deal of despair, deal of desperation, great deal of disappointment and even bitterness in the Negro community. They all of our cities confront huge problems. All of our cities are potentially power kids as a result of the continued existence of these conditions. Many in moments of anger, many in moments of life. Let me say, as I've always said, I will always continue to say, are socially destructive and selfish. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve. That in a real sense is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn rights, continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way, but to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me as vigorous in condemning the conditions which calls persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn life. I think America must see riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously condemned right. In the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? Failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last 2 years. Failed to hear that the
Thank you.
habits of men. When you begin to change the habits of men, pretty soon the attitude will be changed. Pretty soon the heart will be changed. I'm convinced that we still need strong civil rights legislation. There's a bill before Congress right now to have a national federal open housing bill. Federal law declaring discrimination in housing unconstitutional. Also a bill to make administration of justice real all over our country. Now, nobody can doubt the need for this. Nobody can doubt the need to be thinking about the fact that since 1963, some 58 Negroes and white civil rights workers have been brutally murdered in the state of Mississippi alone. Not a single person has been convicted for these acts of the crime. There have been some indictments, but no one has been convicted. So there is a need for the whole question of the administration of justice. There is a need for fair housing laws all over our country. It's tragic indeed that last year allowed this bill to die. That bill died in Congress and this of democracy died. The bill of our system of justice died. It happens again in this session of Congress. Greater degree of our commitment to democratic principles will die. I can see no more dangerous trend in our country and the constant developing of predominantly Negro central cities ringed by white suburbs. Only inviting social disaster. The only way this problem will be solved by the nation taking a strong stand, by state government taking a strong stand against housing segregation and against discrimination in all of these areas. And there's another thing that I'd like to mention as I talk about the massive action program and time about the 50 to go into specific programmatic actions in 33. It must be realized now that Negro cannot solve problems by himself. There again, there are those who always say to Negro, why don't you do something for yourself? Why don't you live yourself by your own strength? Give this over and over again. Now, certainly, there are many things that we must do for ourselves and that only we can do for ourselves. Certainly, we must develop within a sense of dignity and self-respect that nobody else can give us. A sense of manhood, a sense of personhood, a sense of not being ashamed of our heritage, not being ashamed of our color. As long as tragic as this, Negro ever allowed himself to be ashamed of the fact that he was black, or the fact that his home, ancestral home, was ever. So there's a great deal that the Negro can do to develop self-respect. There's a great deal that the Negro must do and can do to amass political and economic power in his own community and by using his own resources. So we must search the same for ourselves, but this must not be the fact. Because the nation overlooks the fact. Negro cannot solve the problem himself. Man was on the plane some weeks ago and problems I see that I see with what you're doing is that every time I see another Negro protesting, promise you aren't doing anything for yourself. Went on to tell me that very poor at one time and he was able to make it by doing something for himself. Why don't you keep your people instead? Lift themselves by their own bootstraps. Then he went on to say, other groups are based in the Granite in the Irish. I said to him that it does not help the Negro, it only keeps his frustration on feeling insensitive to say to him, or the ethnic groups who migrated or were immigrants to this country while others came on voluntarily. I went on to remind him that no other racial group had been a slave on American soil. I went on to remind him that the other problem that he had faced over the years, that the society placed a stigma on the color of the Negro, on the color of the skin, because he was black. Other groups. I say to people that you ought to assist yourself by your own bootstraps, but it is a cruel death to say to a bootless man that you ought to assist himself by his own bootstraps. The fact is, decisions that we rose as a result, senses and denials.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power. We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters.
Well,
it didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.